Well, thank you so much, Bob, and greetings, and God bless all of you who are gathered from afar, wherever you may be, whatever time it is, whatever time zone you're in. God is just so amazing. I'd actually like to start this teaching with a prayer, if I could. Heavenly Father, thank you for your loving grace and power and how you saw it in your heart, Father, to so lovingly have a sacrifice on our behalf, that our Lord Jesus Christ was the man who willingly gave his life, Father. No one took it from him. He willingly gave it. And as a result, Father, he accomplished something that no human being has ever accomplished before or ever will since then. And thank you, God, today as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and all that that means to us in a condensed version here. Father, that you would just magnify to our understanding, and if anything, we can just offer our thanksgiving and our praise to you, God, for how amazingly kind and good you are to all of us. That we have the privilege to be alive today and to walk in this administration. And what a journey it is, Father. Thank you that you hold our hands as we move down this path of life, and that we have a glorious expectation awaiting to spend all of eternity with you and your Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray in his name. Amen. This morning I'm going to be sharing a topic that I've entitled Our Resurrection Attitude. And I want to make a statement, and then I want to see what it stirs in your heart as a result of that. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to poll the audience. I believe last Sunday we had upwards of 45-plus folks on the call. But not to worry, this call line can handle 1,000 people at any given time. Now, I don't know how we're all going to say hello or goodbye at the end of that. But, hey, we'll give it a shot, right? Anyway, listen to this. We need to walk each day with a greater vision of what God has given us. We must manifest the power from on high with ever-increasing confidence and boldness. When we live the principles of God's Word, walking by God's gift of Spirit in each of us, we are proving in the senses world that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We are completely, completely, complete in Him. What a thrilling opportunity is yours and mine when we begin to appreciate and appropriate the significance of the man, Jesus Christ. Our example, our Passover, our risen Lord, and our complete Savior. Mm-hmm. Quotation from Dr. Victor Paul Werwolf, Jesus Christ, our Passover. Mm-hmm. What do you think after hearing this? Does your heart cry out to be a participant, to want and learn and live this way, to walk above the senses, being sensitive to the voice of God and truly manifesting power from on high? I propose that this is exactly what God wants for each and every one of his children. I'll be reading from Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 17 in the New International Version. So you're welcome to read along in whatever version you may have, or just listen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly realms. Brothers and sisters, this is the expected norm for believers, to walk in power that is above the senses, manifesting the greatness of what Jesus accomplished as our substitute. We see this again confirmed in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which says, "For this cause also, thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Believe. And in Philippians 2:13 it says, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Having power beyond our natural ability is exactly what the enablement of the Holy Spirit provides. So many times, it is easy to acknowledge the reception of a gift, but it is an entirely another thing to use it. I can remember in times gone by, and maybe you can too, being a gift that you put on a shelf. You put it up for safekeeping. Once, a group of folks gave me a handgun for a birthday gift. But it took me quite a while to pull it out of the case and go to the firing range and pull the trigger. I had the gun in my house all the time, but I had never chosen to use it or taken the time to use it. Could it be that we have shelved, at times, the supernatural ability of God just like my gun? It's there all the time for the using. I just never used it. I had a million reasons why. I didn't have the time. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have the money. Whatever the reason was. But once I made the decision, once I made the choice to take the gun out of the case, took whatever necessary to go to the firing range, figure out what to do, and pull the trigger, I used the gift. I used the gift. I just didn't acknowledge the gift. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, God says that we have a power that is at work within us. In the Amplified, it says, "Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work where?
Within
us. Within us. Yeah. Within us." Well, who wouldn't want that? Exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It's in us. It's not something God has to bring by special delivery. It's not Amazon bringing it to the door, not FedEx or anything else. We have it. And this resurrection that God accomplished in his Son has brought to us the great spiritual realities that are now ours freely. God has given us a free gift. But guess what? It's up to us if we're gonna open up the gift. See? Do we recognize the gift and appreciate it to the point that we unwrap it and see what it's all about? I bet if it was a new phone or a car, you would be showing it off all over the place. You'd be calling people and everybody who came over to the house, "Look at my new car. It's so great." How about if you got a call from the White House for an all-expenses-paid trip to Washington with an additional $5,000 in expense money to visit with the president? Would you go?
Mm-hmm.
Would you be psyched? Would you keep it to yourself? It makes me wonder why so many times we just want to look at the gift, acknowledge its value, but never take it and utilize it. What if it were a key to a safety deposit box filled with diamonds and cash? I believe you would do whatever was required of you if you knew that there was a material benefit awaiting you, and it just took you taking that key and turning it in the box and pulling it out. I'd like to look together in Romans chapter 5, please, starting in verse 21. I'll give you a second to get there if you're looking for it. Romans chapter 5. I think E.W. Bullinger called Romans the Magna Carta of the Christian world. I'll be reading from a different translation, so if yours is a little different, bear with me. Now, there is no comparison between Adam's transgression and the gracious gift we experience. For the magnitude of the gift far outweighs the crime. It's true that many died because of one man's transgression, but how much greater will God's grace and his gracious gift of acceptance overflow to many because of what one man, Jesus the Messiah, did for us. And this free-flowing gift imparts to us much more than what was given to us through the one who sinned. If you were here last night, listen to Jan teaching on Jesus Christ, the last Adam, fabulous explanation. For because of one transgression, we are all facing a death sentence with a verdict of guilty. But this gracious gift leaves us free from our many failures and brings us into the perfect righteousness of God, acquitted with the words, not guilty. Mm-hmm. Death once held us in its grip by the blunder of one man. Death reigned over humanity. But now, how much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning its kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. In other words, just as condemnation came upon all people through one transgression, so through one righteous act of Jesus' sacrifice, the perfect righteousness that makes us right with God and leads us to a victorious life is now available to all. One man's disobedience opened the door for all humanity to become sinners. So also one man's obedience opened the door for many to be made perfectly right with God and acceptable to him. Verse 20, so then the law was introduced into God's plan to bring the reality of human sinfulness out of hiding. And yet, wherever sin increased, there was more than enough of God's grace to triumph all the more. Verse 21, and just as sin reigned through death, so also this sin-conquering grace will reign as king through righteousness, imparting eternal life through Jesus, our Lord and Messiah. I've read from the Passion Translation. We have the fullness of all that Christ accomplished right here in front of us, right here within us. But sometimes I think our unwillingness to unwrap the gift and use it for its intended purpose, we begin to formulate attitudes and thoughts that ultimately affect our attitudes toward it. Your attitude towards many things will have a dramatic effect on its utilization and outcome. A great man once said, your attitudes towards the Word of God will determine your spirituality. Attitude, your mind, your thoughts, how you see things. Your attitudes towards many things will have a dramatic effect on its utilization and outcome. If I talk all about the negatives of owning a gun, using a gun, or how guns affect our society in general, in all likelihood, I won't use the gun. Because I've convinced myself in my mind that it's something that there's not benefit to. In a similar way, if we somehow develop an attitude of hesitation, fear, or rejection towards the things of God, our spirituality will be affected, and we will not walk in the fullness of what God has envisioned for his children. If somehow we develop an attitude of hesitation, fear, or rejection, we see opportunities right in front of us, but instead of pursuing proactively into them, we withdraw hesitantly, choosing at that moment to not utilize the greatness of what we have been given as a free gift. God has said that we can walk in power. Anyone who is born again of God's Spirit as a result of making Jesus Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead has been given a great, invaluable, and extremely powerful gift. That gift is the power of the Holy Spirit, given on the day of Pentecost, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Isn't it interesting to note that part of the what is involved in it for a person to receive Spirit and to become born again isn't confessing Jesus as Lord, but the second part is that in believing that God raised Jesus from the dead. At that point, the miracle of all miracles occurs. Spiritually, Christ is placed within you. Christ is placed within you. How does that happen? I have no idea how that happens. That is something God does. He puts Christ in you, the Spirit of Christ. And one of the criteria is our believing that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And glory, hallelujah. You talk about a resurrection attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. We should be jumping and shouting right now. Well, I have actually got my hands in the air. It is one of the greatest realities known to mankind, if not the greatest reality known to mankind. But what will our attitude be towards it? And I'm here to tell you, your attitude towards something will determine your behavior in terms of your utilization of it. It's just axiomatic like that. The gift, it's the power of the Holy Spirit given on the day of Pentecost. It's Christ in you, right? The hope of glory. Acts 1:8, you should be very familiar with this verse, many of you. It says, but you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Power, that strength, that enablement. And so I have a suggestion for you. Unwrap the package and start using the gift. It's the gift of Holy Spirit. Christ in you. So we develop a resurrection attitude that responds proactively in the spiritual realities of the Word in God's personalized instructions. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, hey, we've got the Bible, that is the Word of God, which is revelation. But we've also got God's Spirit within us that God can now speak to us personally and give us instruction and personalize things that we may need to know. Bob's been doing a wonderful job on teaching about the 9 manifestations of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But here is something I want to leave us all with. And I've used this before in our Sunday fellowships. I wanted to expand upon it a little bit. And these are maybe some of the dynamics of our resurrection attitude. And this is what the statements are. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. I can do what the Word of God says I can do, and I will be what the Word of God says I will be. Now, let's go back and talk about those just a little bit more in detail. I am what the Word of God says I am. You know what? That's a good attitude to have. How about tomorrow morning? How about right now, 5 seconds from now, you say to yourself, I am what the Word of God says I am. I am what the Word of God says I am. But what does the Word of God say I am? Anybody here got an idea?
Son of God.
Son of God. What?
Full of power.
Full of power.
Beloved in his sight.
Beloved in his sight. The Word of God says so many things. It says, I'm a son, according to 1 John 3:1. Beloved, when? Now are we the sons of God. Not tomorrow, not next week. Now. Now. It's the eternal reality of now I am what the Word of God says I am. See? I am redeemed. I am righteous. I am raised with Christ. I am chosen by God. I am accepted by God, according to Ephesians chapter 1. I am beloved by God. I am worthy. I am a son of God. I am loved by God. There's so many. I am what the Word of God says I am. Number two, I have what the Word of God says I have. I have what the Word of God says I have. I am what the Word of God says I am. I have what the Word of God says I have. Well, what does the Word of God say I have? How about peace? How about justification? Just as if I've never sinned. Isn't it in Romans where it says when Christ was raised, we received our justification? Maybe Romans 4? Well, 4 or 5. That when Christ was raised, we received that justification. Just as if we've never sinned. That's how God looks at us. What else do I have what the Word of God says I have?
Peace.
Justification.
9 manifestations.
9 manifestations. Boldness. Wisdom.
Joy,
spiritual insight, so many things if we really begin to think about the fullness of what we have really been given in that gift, that package. Man, don't you want to unwrap it? Don't you want to just open it like a little kid on Christmas morning and just let it rip? Number three, well, I can do what the Word of God says I can do. Oh, this is a beauty one. I can't do what the Word of God says I can do. I not only am what the Word says I am, I have what the Word says I have. I can't do what the Word of God says I can do. Well, what does the Word of God say that I can do?
Heal people.
I can heal the sick. Huh? Do the works that Jesus did and greater works than Jesus did. I can lead someone into the new birth, right? I can, well, Bob wrote an entire book about this subject. I can do what, Bob? I can speak in tongues. I can speak in tongues all day long. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. It is one of the greatest and in some ways the simplest things that we have been given. And yet sometimes the most difficult thing to remember to function and to operate in. Speak in tongues. I can do what the Word says. Speak in tongues. Walk by the Spirit. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. What?
Forgive people.
Forgiveness. Freely you have received. Do what?
Give.
I can give because of who God has made me to be, but it's no longer just me. It's Christ who lives within me. Christ who lives within me. Oh, my gosh. In Philippians, Paul said something about, I count everything but dung for the knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we've got it. We've got the gift. And finally, number four, I will be what the Word of God says I will be. I will be. Well, what does that mean?
Be more than a conqueror.
Be more than a conqueror. To be loving like God does, like manifesting the compassion of God that was evidenced in Jesus Christ's perfect work. How about his masterpiece, walking in the good works that God has foreordained? Those are things that are right there available to us. Oh, my gosh. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. His masterpiece, more than a conqueror, a blessing to every person I meet. An ambassador of God's grace. And here's a good one. The devil's worst nightmare. I will kick his rear end from the moment I get up to the moment I go to bed. And like we said before, if you have a message you want to deliver to the devil, write it on the bottom of your feet, because he is underneath us. Jesus Christ, when he got up from the dead, he went into that area and witnessed a bunch of spirits to show them the manifested power of God and his triumphant victory over it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You talk about a resurrection attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what else is interesting? There's so much more. There's so many more blessings to realize. And it is all wrapped up in what Jesus Christ accomplished on Calvary, in his death, his burial, in his resurrection, and his ascension. And, I should say, in the giving of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Ladies and gentlemen, we can live every day with an attitude of victory as we live with this resurrection attitude, honoring God, honoring the word of our Lord, in that God raised him from the dead so that now we can walk as he walked. As he is in this world, so are we. That's the attitude you can take to the bank.